Good morning, everyone. There we go. And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can come into God's house on this day and offer our praise and thanksgiving to Him who is the Lord of all. I'm going to be a little coughy this morning, so you will have to just bear with me. But I'm not coughing like I was at the beginning of last night, for what that's worth. A little under the weather this week. As we come, you may have noticed something new. We're trying this. This is a new thing. It's called the Worship Bulletin, which we haven't seen for 3 years, right? And this is a significant kind of milestone because when COVID started, in 2020, we had been working our way through the yearly supply of the worship bulletins. And then we stopped using worship bulletins for 3 years. And we have made it to the point where we are back in sync. And because the lectionary runs on a 3-year cycle, We kind of are dropping right back into the bulletins as they are as they were intended to be used. So, but that's kind of where we're at. We're thankful that we are returning to kind of our regular patterns of life and all that entails. And just a note, as you will notice, there are announcements in the bulletins. Imagine. So just a reminder to folks, if you have events and things planned, we can put them in the bulletin for you if you just let us know in the church office. And the other important part of that whole alchemy is for those who committee conveners or groups that are meeting in the building, if you're planning a meeting, don't forget to let Susan McDonald know, because she'll put you on the calendar and save you a space. And then she gives us the calendar and we can put you in the bulletin. See how it all works together in a seamless fashion? So that's part of our good news stories for today, that we come back with a bulletin. And man, I'll tell you, after 3 years, I almost forgot how to put the bulletin together. It was just, what goes in it? But it's there. There are a few errors and typos and missing him. But next week it will be perfect. A thank you to everyone who brought cereal this morning for the Agape Center. Here through the season of Lent, we are collecting foodstuffs to share with the food bank at Agape. Last week was canned goods. This week is cereal. And if you still want to bring canned goods and cereal, please do not feel for a moment that you are limited in that regard. But next week, looking forward to next week will be pasta sauce. And then on the week following, April the 2nd, it will be peanut butter. So there's kind of a month's worth of a variety of items to restock the shelves at the Agape Center. Also, we are collecting for the Easter lilies that will adorn the sanctuary on Easter Sunday. And you can, there's an announcement in the bulletin about that. And finally, a reminder about PWS&D continuing to receive donations for earthquake relief to Syria and Turkey. As those countries seek to recover from the devastating earthquake that happened there a few weeks ago. And finally, Brenda is going to give us the session summary.
Good morning. Session met on Tuesday, March the 14th. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 26. This is the transition in John's Gospel where Jesus begins to move towards Jerusalem. It is perhaps the climax of John's gospel, moving from the first part with the signs that Jesus is the Messiah to the second half, that of glory, where Jesus confirms that the Son of God is glorified and begins to look towards the crucifixion. It is a reminder that Jesus came to draw the whole world together into one and then draw the world to God. We are to be people who also draw others to the love of God and faith. There will be a meeting of the presbytery here at St. John's on May the 16th, 2023. The WOC have agreed to do the morning snacks and luncheon. They will be reaching out for volunteers for a variety of tasks, so please consider helping with this event and watch the WOC bulletin board beside the kitchen for more information. Session discussed the concept of change and how we as a church move forward into the future together. In the future, this concept will be expanded at session and in various committees. At some point, you will be asked for ideas and feedback, and we will hope everyone will engage with us through this process. Session received a thank you letter from Baldwin House for the donation from the Christmas Eve offering. Michelle Alexis reported that the McGaughey organ recital will take place on Friday, May the 5th at 7 p.m. The approved candidate is Samuel Lee, an organ student at McGill. Ushers will be needed for the evening, and if you are able to help, please speak to Michelle. I reported on behalf of the Communion Committee and Carol Asdell that 15 home communions were served and 66 people took part in person for a total of 81 served. Cynthia Sagan reported that two ceiling tiles fell off the ceiling in the boiler room hall. The ceiling was replaced and new lightings were installed. The next steps are for some work to the men's bathroom and flooring in a few areas in the lower hall. Kemple Barath reported that there was a net loss of 1,100 in the month of February, but he estimates that there was a positive balance going into the next month. The GST credit has been received up to December 2022. At this time, the Financial Committee does not need to request that funds be transferred from the Heritage Trust Fund. Session approved a study leave and week of holidays for Reverend Adams from May the 8th to the 20th. He will be attending the Festival of Homiletics in Minneapolis. Reverend Adams has struck a committee to deal with the 6th Street Cemetery and has received interest from some members. If you have not expressed interest in participating in this project, please speak to him. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. And as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we as his followers seek to walk in the light of his love. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and say together the call to worship. Come, you who are hungry for food.
Worship the Lord who turns want into plenty.
Come, you who hunger for justice.
Worship the Lord who turns weeping into laughter.
Come, you who hunger for life.
Worship the Lord who is our hope and our strength.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we come with empty hands and empty souls. But you have prepared for us your heavenly banquet, where we will feast of wine and fat things. May we delight in your presence as we gather this day to sing your praises, for you alone are holy and worthy of all praise. We pray these things in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our opening praise is 299. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Please be seated. Friends, God has given us a sign showing that love is stronger than death. The sign of the cross points to our exodus from bondage and sin. Therefore, let us repent, seek God's forgiveness, and enter into new life in Christ. As we say together the prayer of confession as it appears before you on the screen. O Christ, when the crowd surrounded you, hungry for bread and for your word, you took an offering, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and made for them a feast. Still, O Lord, we doubt the abundance of your grace. Still, O Lord, we are hesitant to share the gifts that we have. Still, O Lord, we wonder whether there is enough for all. Forgive us, O God, and make of us a more generous people. Empower us to share the gift of our lives, and enlighten us to see the miracles around us. For you are the giver of grace upon grace, the one who turns want into plenty. Amen. The bread of life God sends is the offering of his only begotten Son. Whoever comes in Jesus Christ shall never be hungry. Whoever believes in him shall never thirst. Believe in the gospel. In Jesus Christ our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we sing the hymn 441, Can a Little Child Like Me? The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screens. In a couple of minutes, we're going to hear the gospel lesson for today. The gospel lesson this morning is one of those ones that's familiar to many of us. We learned that when we were this high, when we were children in Sunday school, the story of the young boy and his lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. What a blessing it was that that young man on that day had his lunch with him, something that he could take and share with others. As we come this morning, and as you entered the building, in the bulletin or there were some extras in case you didn't take a bulletin with you, some fish, and some people got loaves. Yeah, can I borrow that for a second, Jennifer? Jennifer had a loaf. I'll get back into camera here. So fish and loaves. Thank you. And we're doing a little exercise this morning. You should have probably also gotten a pencil or a pen. We're going to invite you to write on your loaf or on your fish for that which you are thankful for, that God has blessed you today, and something that perhaps you can share in ministry. So if you want to take just a moment to do that, while you're doing that, I'm going to make one very important announcement to this whole part of this process. The paperclip is important, because we're going to collect them in a minute. And we're going to bring them up here. You may not be able to see it, but there's a net up here. And we're going to put our fish and our loaves on the net. And, of course, you see why the paperclip becomes important. It's how we're going to get those things there. So if you could remember to leave that paperclip on the top of the fish or the loaf, that would be helpful. And I'm going to send Jennifer and Mariah out into the congregation so that they can collect your loaves and your fishes. And if I had been thinking about it, I would have told Minna to bring the William Tell Overture, and she could play that while we were waiting. But looks like I got all loaves of bread over on this side of the congregation. I don't know how that worked out, because I was alternating as I was putting the bulletins together, but... We have a good crowd today. I'm going to have to do a lot of paper clipping here. Thankful for farming. I think I probably know what pew that one came out of. But aren't we all? I guess in today's story, it's fish farming. I know, there's a lot of people here today. A lot of people are thankful for, just so that you know. Oh, and I forgot to say that those who were on the Facebook could write in, but they did so anyway. Excellent. Thank you to the Facebook people. Lots of people were thankful for their families, for their friends, for their health, for their spouse. I see mobility, new beginnings was there. So there's a great collection of things, and you're invited to come forward at the end of the service today if you want to take a look and read all of them. But those were kind of the big themes that were on the cards as I was putting them on. So we're grateful for your thankfulness. And while Mariah and Michelle finish off that task, we'll come in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, creative power of God, strengthen us to the depths of our humanity. Help us to overcome temptations to abuse our neighbors. Fill us with the love of Christ. Feed us the bread of heaven, so that we will share with the world the saying that is true, I am is with us. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God and Savior. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading comes from the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 4, reading verses 42 to 44. Let us hear the word of God. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them. They ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. Our second reading comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 6. Reading verses 1 to 14. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people? Jesus said, Make the people sit down. Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. Our third reading comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 145, reading verses 1 to 3 and 10 to 18. We will read it responsively, with the responses being shown before you on the screens. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I reflect on you, praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds.
The Lord
The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. Let us join together in singing hymn number 507, Break Now the Bread of Life.
Thank you.
And we continue to read from John's Gospel, picking up at John chapter 6. We will read verses 25 to 27. Once more, let us listen for God's word. Now when the people found Jesus on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mark asked me a question as we were coming up the stairs this morning. Mark, this is probably the answer to your question. Are you a collector? I am. So yes, Mark, I'll take that. I have probably lost track of all of the collections that I have had in my lifetime. But there is a small coin collection somewhere, a hockey card collection, a dormant militaria collection, and a few other things that, like I say, have kind of passed by the wayside over the years, all of which to the chagrin of my long-suffering wife. As we turn this morning to John's Gospel, we discover that Jesus has attracted a group of collectors. In verse 2, the Gospel writer says that there was a large crowd who kept following Jesus because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Now, certainly there were devout followers in the crowds that followed Jesus from town to town, but there were these others too. They were miracle collectors, it seems. People who followed Jesus in the same way that you might go to see your favorite magician, and you might, well, you see him in Ottawa and you think, "Wow, he's really good. I'm going to go tomorrow night and I'm going to see him again in Montreal." Right? Something like that. Well, here they are following their magician. They want to go and they want to see how they saw the assistant in half. And more importantly, how do you get them back together again? Anybody can saw the assistant in half. It's getting them back together that's really the trick. Or how do they make the dove appear and disappear and then reappear again? A good magician is so slick and so smooth that they can draw you right into their act and you're left exclaiming, "That's unbelievable." Here on the far side of the Sea of Galilee, this crowd has come. They're ready and eager to see another miracle. It doesn't come right out and say it, but Jesus, you see, has come here for solitude. Jesus has come to this side of the lake hoping that he can find a quiet place where he can sit with his disciples and teach them. When they are surrounded by the crowds, Jesus turns to Philip and he says, "Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat?" Philip is quick to point out the immensity of the problem. 6 months' wages would not be enough bread for each of these people to just get just a little bit. And then Andrew shows up with a boy and a lunch, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus instructs the disciples to have everybody sit down. Then he takes the bread, he gives thanks, and he begins to give it out to the people. Surely, Philip must have thought, that's unbelievable. How will we feed so many with so little? And yet the gospel writer records for us that everyone ate as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, see, he really makes the point, right? As much as they wanted until they were satisfied. And then the disciples went out to get the leftovers. 12 baskets, far more than the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes that they had started this whole adventure with. And that's unbelievable. And that's the problem with miracles, isn't it? Miracles, these are the stories in the gospel that we're most drawn to, I think, for many of us. And yet, in the back of our minds, there's always that little voice that keeps saying to us, that's unbelievable. Indeed, that is the very definition of a miracle, isn't it? To be unbelievable. Some unimaginable and unexpected disruption in the natural world. Jesus changing water into wine, or walking on the water, or feeding 5,000 and more people with one small boy's lunch. I don't know about you, but if someone tried to tell me at Timmy's tomorrow morning that they saw someone doing any one of those things, I think I'd just slap my knee and I'd say, that's unbelievable. Sometimes we like to think that the miracles are the proof that Jesus is who he says he is. Surely Jesus must be something special to be able to do all of these things, all of these unbelievable things. And yet, even in John's gospel, the miracles seem to be little more than amusements to the crowds who follow Jesus. This story, the feeding of the 5,000, followed by then Jesus walking on the water, and then a whole lot of teaching. It takes up the entirety of the 6th chapter of John's gospel. 71 verses in total. I decided not to read all 71 verses to you this morning. But it was hard to figure out where to stop, because there's important stuff in all 71 verses. The story of the young boy and the loaves and the fishes, well, that's just the beginning. You see, when the crowds catch up to Jesus the next day after Jesus has walked across Lake Galilee, stilling the storm, calming his disciples, when they arrive the next day, Jesus gives them, well, I think the polite term is a corrective teaching. I think he kind of tells them off. Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Jesus takes the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he turns it on its head. It was never about how many people he fed. It was never about the baskets that were left. This, the 4th sign in John's gospel, is all about the one who performs the sign. Don't you see who is doing this? Jesus asks. In our post-enlightenment world, we search for scientific explanations for the miracles that we find in Scripture. We want to make the unimaginable make sense. We want to take all of the wonder and the mystery and the power and the majesty of Scripture and push it into our own little boxes of understanding. But the problem with explaining miracles, and there are countless explanations of various miracles in Scripture, that the problem with explaining the miracles is that if you can understand them, then they're less of a miracle, aren't they? Our desire to understand, to make the miracle stories fit into our human limits, renders them not miraculous at all, but ordinary. And if our faith in Jesus is built on miracles alone, then Jesus becomes ordinary too. Unbelievable. But here's what Jesus says in this little teaching this morning. He says, the proof of the lordship of Jesus Christ is not found in the miracles, but rather the proof that these wonderful things that have been performed as are miracles is found in the recognition that Jesus Christ is the Lord. It's one of those sentences I have to say twice. The proof of the lordship of Jesus Christ is not found in the miracle, but rather the proof that these wondrous things have been performed are in fact miracles is found in the recognition that Jesus Christ is the Lord. It is indeed to imagine the unimaginable that the God who is able to still the waters of creation with a breath still walks beside us, and knowing that he is there to still the storms of this life. It is to know that the God who filled the garden with rich abundance declares, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Amid all the swirling complexity of John's gospel, and my Wednesday night friends, right? We talk about that all the time. John writes in this style that kind of just whirls and whirls around, and words start coming back, and I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and you will be in me, and the Father, if you are in me. That's how John writes. But in all of that swirling complexity of John's gospel, the Son of God declares that he comes to us in water, in bread, in wine, everyday and common things. And yet each of those items symbolizes his true nature. In some way, we know that Christ bears the mark of the Father, and that he transforms each of these concrete and everyday things into a miraculous source of the grace of God. It is the affirmation that God is indeed with us. And that is unbelievable. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, each of us has been given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let us give a measure of what has already been given to us as we share now our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Generous God, you give us what we need and satisfy our desires in due season. Grant that our inner beings may be strengthened each and every day through your Spirit, that we might in all things give thanks to you for the many blessings to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. Strengthening and enlivening God, we give you thanks that Jesus Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, and that you accomplish within us far more than we can ask or imagine through his presence with us. As we come before you, hear our supplication and equip us to be your agents of reconciliation, working for your justice and your mercy. God of love and liberation, we give thanks for the stories of faith in which you feed the people by the prophet, and Jesus fed the hungry crowds that followed him. Like them, we sometimes take for granted your generous provision to us and fail to be grateful for all that we enjoy. Sometimes, we crave more than we truly need to meet each day. Help us to take only what we need and to leave the rest for those who are hungry. Forgive us when we follow Jesus or pray to you, only seeking after our own good. Help us to pray for higher things, for the things that will equip us for the work of ministry, and to perform the works of God. Holy One, we pray for this community, for its families, its individuals, its children. We pray for the nations of the earth, that the world may know plenty and peace. We pray for those who hunger for bread, and for those who hunger for righteousness, that they will be filled with what they need. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be the bread of the world, giver of life. Teach us your justice as we pray in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, 461, Be Thou My Vision. Hymn 461, or as the words appear before you on the screen.
All else to leave.
just a reminder, there will be communicants class tonight. I may be just a little bit dopier than usual, but we'll soldier through. And I will sanitize well at the back before you come. So if you want to shake my hand this morning, I will be clean. And if you don't, I understand. Friends, equipped for the work of ministry, let us go in peace and be bread for the life of the world. And may God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, fill you with all good things, providing for you today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.